This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Clap Your Hands. I feel like we start so many of these pods clapping and very little do we ever have to actually clap about. And that is certainly one of those instances, or this is one of those instances. I am, of course, Elliot Shore Parks here with my main man, James Jackson. And boy, oh boy, they just never make it easy for us, buddy. They never make it easy for us. So obviously plenty to get into today. We're going to talk about all the Joel Embiid fallout, just what it means for him, what it means for the team. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are there positives? What the negatives are? But I guess where I would start is, James, I'll throw it to you. Just give me your, we've had almost 24 hours now to react to it. And it's probably better to give myself 24 hours because I can only imagine.
I was very emotional.
It was not good when it first came out. So tell me where are you at 24 hours after the article, of course, coming out about Tyrese calling him out.
The first place that I went to, and I talked about it on the Daily Pod, is like, I don't know if I've ever been more disappointed in Joel Embiid, kind of the star, than I am, not just even in this particular moment, but in this phase of Joel that we're in post Olympic, you know, coming back to the Sixers. Like, it's just never, nothing has been right. He hasn't said anything right. He hasn't done anything right. And now we're here 13, 14 games into the season, and it's about as bad as it, you know, it could be. Like, this is almost the worst case scenario that we're staring at to start the season. So that's the first part. It's just cannot be more disappointed in Joel Embiid, like our superstar, our former MVP center. But the small silver lining is that Tyrese, like, it is good on Tyrese Maxey to, like, have the courage, have the confidence to, you know, stand up to say what he said to Joel Embiid, to hold him accountable, like, you know, getting $200 million in the offseason. That comes with a lot of influence and a lot of responsibility. And I'm sure that Tyrese said something that almost everybody in the room was thinking, and probably not everybody has the ability to say. Like, it's almost on Tyrese to bring this up to Joel Embiid. I'm sure coaches could say it. I'm sure personnel can say it. But when you hear it from, you know, your actual co-star, the actual guy who's going out there on the floor battling with you, like, that'll mean a little bit more. So for Tyrese not to pull that punch, not to do it in a disrespectful way to Joel, but to do it hopefully in a way where, you know, Joel gets the message. But the most concerning part about it is just how divided the Sixers seem right now. Like, so it's bad.
So I agree with everything you said about Tyrese. And I think that there's not a better person in the organization that could have done it. Maybe Daryl Morey, but I'm not sure it hits the same as Tyrese. I don't think. Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, in the past 24 hours, I feel like there's been so much talk about the messaging. Why did it come out? Who said it? And all those things are interesting, right? Like, I love talking about, you know, like, when Eagles news comes out, well, who do you think leaked it? Why did this come out? What's it mean, right? And it's important. And I think the team did want this out there. And I agree with you that I bet you there wasn't a single person in that room that disagreed with what Tyrese Maxey said. But to, like, how I feel 24 hours later is just, I just feel dumb for sticking up for him for so many years. And I don't think I was wrong. Like when he was MVP and people said it didn't matter. I disagree. I think it was awesome when he won MVP. When they've been, you know, where they were up 3-2 on the Celtics. I'm not going to apologize for believing they would close out that series. When they went into the Knicks series and I thought they were the more talented team. Like, I believed all those things. And I still think those things were true to an extent. But like, I could take a report coming out that Joel Embiid's knee maybe is not where they want it to be. Mm-hmm. Like, they would be upsetting and it would suck, but it would be, man, I feel bad for Joel. I could take a report of Joel is not doing well with how his knee is doing. But to have the report be about not trying and being late, like, I just, and it's ironic because I'm 10 minutes late to this part. So let's just be clear. Let's be clear about the irony here. But in all seriousness, like, I can use that to make my point. Like, I felt awful for the 10 minutes that I was holding you up because, like, I think that there is different types of like laziness and disrespectfulness, right? Like, if Joel was coming to practice and was frustrated with how the offense was looking, it wasn't practicing hard, like, that would be one thing, right? I think just being on time, like, you've been working with me for many years. I'm always on time,
you're
right?
Always
like,
on time. And to clarify, everybody, he called me three times in like a 10-minute
I did. Span. I felt very bad.
Where he was on the road. So, like,
I did.
You know, that's a different level.
I just think being late to things shows just such a lack of caring. That's what I think is upsetting to me. Like, and honestly, what I also think is upsetting is I don't think Joel doesn't care. I think if I had to psychoanalyze from however many miles away I'm from Joel right now, and I don't know Joel, I'm not covering the team the way you cover the Sixers or the way I cover the Eagles. But like, I think what this is he's upset about how his knee feels. He's not handling it well. And that's why he's late to things. And like, that doesn't make it okay. But I don't think, you know, there was a Stephen A. Smith clip that came out today. And I'm a huge Stephen A. Smith guy. I believe what he's saying, right? Yeah. But like, I personally don't believe Joel doesn't care. I don't think he doesn't care. But this makes it look like he doesn't care, right? Like Stephen A. Smith said, people in the Sixers or someone attached to the Sixers feels that since he got paid, he's not the same guy. Like, he already had hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know what this extension changes. So that's what's so frustrating to me. And you've been around Joel more this season than I have. Like, I think he cares. I think he does. But to be late and for people to have to say to you, right. And it had to be happening so often for it to become a thing.
Years.
Yes, exactly. And that's the frustrating thing to me.
You know, I do, you know, I produce, you know, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green, a former teammate of Joel Embiid. And Danny Green has given kind of many personal accounts of what it's been like, you know, playing with Joel Embiid. If these kind of reports are true, not everything, you know, I'm going to say that to Al DG. But one thing that he did say is, kind of the same, and he kind of noticed has gotten worse, is Joel's always done his own thing. Like, mm-hmm. Joel has always kind of been over there. And we've heard that many times, and many teammates say that, you know, Joel is great. It's not like he doesn't care. He's not a bad teammate. He's just not the guy to galvanize the troops, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you've told me, like, Joel after games, what does he do? Like, go to his locker, put on NBA, sit by himself. Does, you know what I mean? He's not engaging. He's not with the team. So two things off of what you said. I agree that, like, I don't think he doesn't care. I think he cares a lot. I do think he's kind of dejected right now. He's demoralized, but whatever, his spirit is almost broken. And it's a combination of, yes, the knee not progressing as it is. I also think it's a combination of the narrative kind of swirling around him and his kind of persona, especially within the city. Like, we can kind of condemn the article and what happened with Marcus Hayes all we want, but it happened. He read it, and that affects a person, right?
Yeah.
And whether we can tell Joel Embiid that the overall fan base doesn't, you know, kind of reflect what was in that article, he may not overall feel that way. Like, he may still be looking at a fan base and saying, like, I can't believe they're treating me like this. They're saying the things that they are. Like, I'm not hearing my fan base have my back against the national media and everything else, you know, kind of going around. What kind of rightfully so from a member of that fan base, but that's maybe what Joel is thinking. So all of that considered, may just have a apathetic attitude, may just have like a kind of a spirit that's down. And if that's true, that's not an excuse. Like, I like that that can't be the reason where you're late to things. You're not showing up. You're not trying. You're kind of showing this body language. And the thing that it's made me have to come maybe to a harsh realization is maybe Embiid isn't equipped to kind of lead a team to a championship. That doesn't mean he can't be the best on-court player. But to be the leader of a team, like, you have to do all those. No one has to be able to ask you to do all those things, right? The guys who lead teams to championships, their 24-year-old co-star never once has to think or say.
I agree with this.
Hey, you know, you got to pick it up. No one ever has to say that to them, right? You can, the Steph Currys, the, you know what I mean? The LeBron Jameses, whoever you want to name. So,
here's where I'd push back on that, though, right? Because I think what you're saying, like, I don't think Joel is a natural leader. Like, look, and I see it with Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Like, I think Jalen Hurts is more of a natural leader than Joel. Yeah. But Jalen has had to work to become a better, more outgoing leader.
But have you seen the improvement when he does?
Well, that's the difference. The difference is Jalen is in his third or fourth year as a full-time starter. Joel Embiid's career is essentially over at this point, right? Yeah, and I also think that, like, I compared him to Iverson yesterday in the way that Iverson, who, as we all know, like, that's my goat, that's my guy. But, like, what I think happened with Iverson was he was so naturally gifted that he didn't have to create, like, a workout regimen, or, like, he didn't have to be great off the court to be great on the court. And then what happens with those guys is when they lose it physically, it falls apart quick because they don't have 8 years stacked up of, like, being, you know, eating right, getting up at 5 a.m., like, being disciplined.
It's hard to just flip that switch all the
time. It's hard to flip it. So, look, I think Joel has had to work extremely hard to get to where he is. He's been the best player in the league, arguably, for 3 years. You don't do that without having a good work ethic. But I think what you're seeing is that, like, Joel probably did have bad habits. And now, because he's not the same physically, those bad habits have caught up to him. And it's kind of to what Danny Green, it sounds like, said, where, like, if you're like this way for so long, like, once you lose the physical part, like, Joel didn't have to be a great leader because he was such a great player. And I do disagree. Well, I agree with you now. I don't think Joel can be the best player on the title team from here on out. Full stop. I don't think he can be it.
Yeah.
But I do think that Joel in the past could have been, like, you know, if Melton makes a few more threes versus the Celtics, they win that game. They win that series 4-2. Like, who knows what happens? Maybe they lose next round. Maybe Joel doesn't show up. I don't know. But it's similar to, again, the Eagles. Like, Jalen Hurts has been to a Super Bowl and lost by 3 points. I can't sit here and say you can't win a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts, right? Like, he's literally been there. So with Joel, I think Joel has been good enough to win a title. I think Joel's mentality has been good enough to win a title. The difference is now he's cooked, and so all those other things are really catching up.
I hear the parallel you're trying to make. There's gaps in it, and there's two far gaps. One, you pointed out the biggest one, is Jalen Hurts got it in his third year.
I agree,
he may not be the best, most vocal leader, but everyone in and around the Eagles never had, like, has always said, like, hey, like, Jalen speaks when he needs to. We are able to follow him whatsoever. Like, that doesn't come out with Joel Embiid, and it's a decade in now, almost over in his career. Right. So, like, he may not get it. And, like, if we're at this point, then
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How can you, like, okay, put it this way. Let me push back on this. You told me that Jalen Hurts got to the Super Bowl, so you can't say that you can't win a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts. Joel Embiid has got to the second round, right?
Sure.
So there's nothing in us that can say, like, you know, even based on where he's gotten, we can say Joel Embiid, you know, can be the best player or can lead a team, can be a major contributing factor to a title team. Not right now. Not with these habits that we're seeing.
Well, and that's
not going to change. If it hasn't changed now, it's not going to change. Like, if he's still showing up late, like, it's not like he's just eating bad. He's not getting, but he's still in the facility. He's still doing what he needs to. Like, he got quoted for being late to everything. Like, that is the ultimate bare minimum of what you got to do.
I agree.
If that hasn't changed now, it's not going to change.
I agree. And here's the thing. Like, me and you can debate if he's ever been good enough to be the best player on the title team. What I think we agree on is he definitely isn't now. Like, he definitely isn't now. So I think that's the next question, is like, where do they go moving forward? So we're recording this on a Wednesday afternoon. Tonight they play the Memphis Grizzlies. It looks like they could have all three of the big three together for the first time. Yeah. It looks like the Grizzlies are going to be without Ja Morant. Like, Marcus Smart is questionable.
Zach Edey's gone.
Right. So here's what tonight is. Tonight is a must-win game. Like, and it's not just that. If Joel has it in him to be special, we'll see it tonight. And I know that he's still ramping up and whatever, which, like, frankly, I'm tired of, but whatever.
Yeah. At, like, this point, like, how long is a ramp up? Like, at this point, like, I completely agree. Like,
tonight is the night.
And Jaren Jackson, who's going back to a position he doesn't want to play, right? The whole reason they got Zach Edey to move him to the four. Now he's got to go against Joel, who's kind of dominated him in his career. Like, if you go out and have a 30-10 game, your first 30-10 game of the season, a 30-15 game, it may not shut everybody up, but it might tell everyone, like, all right, he got it. He heard it.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, I've, you know, some people are like, well, I just want to see effort tonight. No, like, that's not good enough for me. You know, I look, if he's out there diving on the floor, I will respect that. Like, he's trying. Like, but I think the concerning thing for me is, if this was Joel as of 4 years ago, we would get a 40 piece tonight. Like, if this was Joel getting ripped by everybody around the league and in his own city, like, are you out on Joel? He doesn't try. He's late. His teammates had to call him out. He's cooked. Joel in the past has responded to that well.
Yeah, for sure.
My concern for tonight is, I don't think he can do it. Like, sure, I could be wrong. I don't think he has it in him to physically be the player he once was.
So this is the last thing I'll say, and then we can wrap it up. I don't necessarily disagree. I do think he has something in him. Like, I do think he has the ability to still go out and give you, may not be 35-13, but 28-10 tonight looks like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
I would take 28-10 for sure. Yes. 10 rebounds. Yeah.
Where I think it's going to show up the most, and this is what I've observed, and I've kind of held this a little bit because I wanted to get a good sample size. It's the little things of camaraderie that Joel Embiid does and doesn't do that he kind of hasn't done for a long time. Like, he doesn't sit on the bench when, you know, everyone is getting their name called. And when he had his first debut, right? Like, Caleb Martin is getting his name called, and he looks on the bench, and it's just him, Kelly Oubre, and Paul George. Like, Kyle Lowry's not there.
Yeah.
He's not there. And he gets up and he kind of throws his palms up. Like, where is everybody? Like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to be getting ready. Like, where is everybody? If Embiid's doesn't stay in the locker room for all of warmups, right? He comes out for the last 30 seconds of warmups every time and does form shooting by himself. Doesn't talk to anyone. Does form shooting by himself. If those kind of little things change, then that's what'll tell me, okay, he's really getting it. Like, he can go out and drop 30 pieces all he wants, yes. But at some point, like, if the habits don't change, you're going to reverberate back to the same thing. So those kind of little habits, to me, that's what I've got to see, like, change a little bit. And then that'll be more encouraged to say, like, okay, he really does get it, to really lock in with everybody.
Dude, I'm so happy you brought that up, because I've covered Sixers games and I'll watch Joel warm
up.
He doesn't talk to anybody.
He's so weird. And even, like, when I look around and I'm like, I don't want to say anything, because I'm like, you guys have been here for so long.
Yeah.
I'm like, obviously this is normal, but I'm like, why doesn't he talk to him? Everyone's like, he does his own thing.
It's crazy.
And what Danny Green also said is, he said this on his podcast, he said when he got there, one of the first things, and when Doc Rivers got there, one of the first things Doc Rivers said is, we have to change everybody's habits. Everyone, like, no one is professional here. We have to change how this organization runs, how it operates. And I think that got to everybody but Joel Embiid.
When he's probably the one it has to get to.
When it has to get to the most, yeah.
And the last thing I'll say, because I think it was an excellent point by you about, like, changing things. And I agree. I just like, it's kind of, to me, to wrap it up, like the Olympics thing, right? It was, okay, he'll go to the Olympics and he'll learn how to become a winner, right? Like he'll learn. And now this is the report. But here's the thing. It's too late for Joel. And that's the sad part of it. Like, yes, I think it's important he starts talking to more people. I think it's important he's on time. I think it's important he values his rehab and everything. But I just think it's too late. Like, I think he's had too many knee injuries. The only hope I cling to when I watch him is he's legitimately skinny.
He legitimately looks like so much thinner, especially on TV. I'm like, bro, he looks so
thin. I agree, dude. Honestly, he looks like rookie year Joel. He really does. And so, look, I think tonight's the night. Like, you got to go out there and do it. In theory, you're gonna have all three. You're playing a trash Memphis team with nobody. Tonight's the night. So hopefully the next pod, we have something to legitimately clap out. I hope more than anything that he goes out there, looks awesome, and the season gets turned around. Yeah. I've just never felt more dejected and hopeless. It's
gray skies. It's never been less sunny in Philadelphia.
They're never Sixers blue here. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, James. I know you've been crushing it with the daily pods, and we'll see where this season goes. So as always, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Elliot. He's James. We'll talk to you guys later.